My name is John Erling, and today's date is April 4th, 2016. Scott, would you state your full name, please?
Robert Scott Petty.
Your date of birth?
October 4th, 1947.
And your present age?
68.
We're recording this interview here in the recording facilities of Voices of Oklahoma. And by the way, you chose to go by Scott's. And
yes.
Why is that?
My father's name is Robert Joseph Petty, and so I was named after him, Robert Scott Petty. So I suppose to have my own identity and avoid confusion, I went by my middle name.
Where were you born?
Tulsa, Oklahoma, St. John Hospital.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have two brothers and one sister. I'm the oldest in the family.
The brothers, what are they doing?
One brother is here. He owns a business here, National Occupational Health Services. That's my brother, Brad Petty. Another brother, Michael, lives in Kansas City. He is a general manager for a car dealership. And my sister, Diane, lives in Oklahoma City.
Your mother's name?
Leatrice.
We'll talk more about her. And then your father's name?
Robert J.
Let's talk a bit about your education. What was the first elementary school you went to?
I started out at Lanier Elementary and ended up finishing at Barnard, which is burned down, unfortunately. In between time, my father was recalled into the Air Force when they formed the Strategic Air Command. We moved around to several military bases for his training. Finally, he got out and came back to Tulsa. In 1957.
You would have been how old then?
I was in the fifth grade when we came back to Tulsa.
Then your junior high and high school work, where did you attend?
Junior high, Woodrow Wilson, and high school, Memorial.
And then on to college?
Yes, OSU.
Did any of your work in college knowingly prepare you for the grocery store business?
Well, I had worked in the business as a youngster, and some of the summers of my college years, I really didn't have it in my mind I was going to go into the business. But yes, it obviously did give me the experience and prepared me.
When did you start working in the grocery store? Were you pretty young, I suppose?
Pretty young. I was just carrying out packages. I was what we called a courtesy clerk and sacked groceries and carried them out. I remember those days really well and a lot of stories.
How old would you have been?
Probably about 12. Of course, child labor laws weren't enforced in those days.
Did you enjoy it? You had fun?
I had a lot of fun. I remember some prominent Tulsans would come in. I was telling somebody a story the other day. J.P. Walker, who owned the National Tank Company here, he was a customer, and the courtesy clerks would almost get in a fist fight to carry his groceries out because he tipped big. He'd lay a $5 bill on us. And that was huge money. I mean, I could take a $5 bill and that'd be good for the weekend. This is when I was about 16 years old. We had a lot of fun, though.
Yeah. Did people often tip you? And what were the size of their tips then?
Most of the tips were probably in the range of like 50 cents, that kind of a thing.
So we're talking again in 19...
In the 1960s.
In the 1960s.
So if somebody gave a $5 tip in those days, that was huge.
Were you known then as the owner's son?
Yes, to a lot of people I was, but some people, of course, didn't know that.
So it was your father then operating the store?
My father and one of my grandfathers at that point.
After your OSU work, then what did you do?
When I graduated, I was commissioned a second lieutenant in the infantry, and I went to the infantry officer school at Fort Benning, Georgia. Graduated from there, and then I went to flight school and began my primary flight training at Fort Walters, Texas. Then moved on to the advanced flight training at Fort Rucker, Alabama. When I graduated from flight school, I was under orders at that point to go to Vietnam and went to Vietnam and served a year as a helicopter pilot in an assault helicopter company. We were flying UH-1 Hueys. Better known as.
Let's get into that a little more. What kind of action would you have seen there?
We were flying in support of the 30th Rock Division, as in Republic of Korea, ROC. 30th Rock Division It was probably the elite fighting division of the Korean Army. It might be like the 101st Airborne or something like that. We inserted them into the jungles for their operations and extracted them at the end of their operations. Saw some combat there. We also did a lot of other things like medical evacuation, called dust off in those days, resupply. I've flown generals' wives around, believe it or not. I did all kinds of things.
Did you ever take any fire from the Vietnamese?
It was the Viet Cong. Yes, we did come under fire sometimes with the Koreans. They were excellent soldiers. Usually, they pretty much took care of the enemy, but there were times when we were under fire extracting the Koreans.
Were you high enough, or they just missed you?
Well, in the old days, if you were 2,500 feet or greater, that was considered out of the range of small arms fire. But we had to come down into the jungle clearings to land the troops in there. So, you know, at that time, we were very vulnerable.
Did you ever have situations where you wondered, this is it, this is my final flight?
There were times where I thought that, but my daughter asked me that question one time, and I told her, and it's the truth. Flying a helicopter that's fully loaded and trying to land a bunch of troops as part of a military operation is so demanding that you literally don't have time to be scared or think about being afraid. Just doing the basic job is so consuming that it takes your mind away from it.
Do you have any situations where you came in for what you thought was going to be a landing and just it wasn't good to negotiate that and had to fly off?
Well, I remember one time on an operation, we were landing one after another, and there were probably 10 of us on final approach, one behind the other. We were landing and letting off troops. I was the last guy in. The ship ahead of me was being flown by a fellow pilot and a friend of mine, and he landed on an anti-personnel mine. It blew up the bottom of the helicopter. Well, fortunately, the whole deck was lined with flak vests, and he was not injured and his crew was not injured, but the helicopter was disabled. I was on final approach, and he sort of blew up in front of me. I had to make an immediate go-around. In the meantime, my commanding officer was like 5,000 feet above us on the radio saying, "What's going on down there?" And I said, "Sir," which you're not supposed to say over the radio, but by that time, radio procedure was out the window. I said, "Sir, I'm having to do a go-around. One of our ships is blowing up down there." And he said, "Get down there, get the Koreans on the ground, and get that crew and get them out of there." So I did that because an operation was going on and there was enemy in the area. They were concerned that this explosion, of course, was going to alert the enemy. So yeah, that was one time things didn't go quite as planned.
You must have received some nice commendations for that kind of work.
I've got a few.
What did you receive?
Some of the highest ones are a Bronze Star, Air Medal. I've got 5 Air Medals and a Vietnamese Cross of Gallantry, which is a foreign decoration awarded by the Vietnamese government.
Huh. And what year was it again?
This was 1971-72.
All right.
We were in two corps along the South China Sea.
There were actually Koreans helping the United States fight
yes,
that Vietnam War.
That's right. A lot of people don't know that, but there were a lot of Koreans over there.
Yeah.
Very good soldiers.
Huh. Did you ever make a visit back to Vietnam?
John, I was part of a trade delegation that was slated to go over there in the 1990s. I was on the board of directors of the Tulsa Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce at that time. And we were sending a delegation, and Mary Fallon, I believe, was the lieutenant governor at that time. She was heading this delegation. We had a meeting at the Tulsa Club, and the North Vietnamese ambassador showed up. When I saw that North Vietnamese flag, the whole thing just kind of soured in my mind, and I just decided I didn't want to go back. So I politely bowed out of the delegation. I never said why, but it bothered me a little bit, so I just didn't go back. Hmm. But I still would like to go back someday, just not under that setup.
Yeah, we forget how that lingers with soldiers.
Well, he was being treated like a celebrity, and great deference was being shown to him, and that bothered me. It was just too fresh in my mind. So
yeah,
I politely bowed out of that trip.